Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live from our 6th satellite studios with our 57th broadcast. That's episode number 57. Once again, we're coming to you from Jacksonville, Florida, West Palm Beach, Florida, Delray Beach, Florida, The Villages, Florida, Grand Junction, Colorado, and Roaring Gap, North Carolina. Your hosts for tonight's 57th broadcast are Margaret Bars, Bud Hescock, Neil Holland, Hector Santa Maria, and Howard Mucci in Jacksonville, Jan Boscae in Delray Beach, Bill Joseph in Grand Junction, Steve Thompson in Roaring Gap, North Carolina, and Chuck Albright in The Villages, that's up near Ocala, Florida, and me, Jim Hart, in West Palm Beach. This week's show, the Eastern Radio crew flies a Boeing 727-200 aircraft to San Juan, Puerto Rico. The trip originates out of Atlanta, Georgia. We hope you'll enjoy your trip, as will the crew during their layover. Last week's show with Mr. Floyd Hall was a great success, especially the quality of the questions that were asked of Mr. Hall, who seemingly really enjoyed chatting with us. Please remember to send notes of gratitude and future health encouragement to him at Mr. Floyd D. Hall, Merton's House, that's M-E-R-T-E-N-S, Merton's House, 73 River Street in Woodstock, Vermont, zip 05091. Our Eastern Airlines radio show tries to include Eastern aircraft and true stories of these Eastern radio broadcasts. Just what is Eastern Radio Talk? Eastern Company News, Eastern News, Employee News, Interviews, Aviation Drama, and Fun Skits. Also Eastern History, Eastern Music, and Eastern Organizations and Chapter News. We have an online weekly newsletter and much, much more. Our website even has a page on the website for those wanting to post their business card. This is all for and about Eastern people and Eastern friends. If you have listened to our past shows, you know that we can be reached online during our live broadcast. Our numbers, once again, are 213-816-1611 or toll-free at 877-572-1861. Let me repeat those numbers. 213-816-1611 1611 or toll free at 877-572-1861. Remember, when calling the show, make sure you press the number one button on your telephone to connect with our show.
Over the past year, we've delivered and archived over 54 hours of live Eastern radio talk, which we thought would be of interest and entertainment to our Eastern family and friends. So we've listed a description of our favorite broadcasts by episode numbers and placed them on the website for your quick review as to those you might want to play. So be sure to go to the radio episode page at the top of our website, www.eaoradioshow.com. Also, Jerry Frost has burned a DVD containing episodes 1 through 49, and they're available to our members. Please contact us if you would like to receive one.
In a recent episode, Flight 54, a charter flight to Mexico City with 150 Massey Ferguson dealers and distributors, was a fun two-part series. Tonight's show starts another series of the crew's adventure on a trip to San Juan, Puerto Rico, where they meet some old acquaintances and discover new friends.
Hi, Jan. This is Margaret. I was wondering if you were going to bid the San Juan trip this month. It's lines 20 through 26. I especially like line 24 with the long layover in San Juan.
As a matter of fact, I was just going over the bid sheet for the months and saw that sequence. Yes, line number 24 does have an unusually long layover time. I sure would like to explore more than just the Condado Beach area where we typically lay over. I see we're at the Carib Hilton once again.
I'm going to go ahead and bid line 24 as my first choice and line 25 is second. I'll also call Luann, see if she'll bid the same line. I do enjoy flying with the two of you. I'll also go ahead and call Captain Steve to see if he has the same trip and layover as we do. He's just the best. I'd like to see if we can all stay on a good line of flying for the month.
I agree. Great, Margaret. I see the bid sheet is due in 2 days. Now, if we can just get Steve to check with Bud and Neil to bid San Juan, we'll be certain to have a great month of flying. Got someone at the door. Let me know if you change your bid before it's due.
Okay, I'll catch up with you later, Jan. Bye.
Bye.
Luck was with Margaret, Jan, and Luann as they got their first choice and even their favorite flight crew, Captain Steve, First Officer Bud, and Second Officer Neil. A month of flying to San Juan and the Caribbean islands of St. Martin, St. Thomas, St. Croix, and Antigua during the winter months of February would be as near perfect as could be hoped for. They check in with Atlanta Cruisegate for their first flight in the sequence. Let's listen in to the flight crew as they meet at the Atlanta dispatch counter in flight operations.
Hey, guys. Boy, I'm really glad to see you all on this sequence. As I mentioned to you when I called you on the phone, both of you on the phone. Margaret, Jan, and Luann are three, of course, as you know, the best flight cabin crew members with Eastern. Even if we do have to listen to Kentucky pretty woman Luann, who is a hoot to fly with. But you guys really make the trip fun also.
Yeah, I wish Luann would get serious about dating. I've asked her out several times.
I wish Luann would get serious about dating. I've asked her out several times, but always get turned down. She must have a fella back in the hills of Kentucky that she's being true to.
Okay, enough of the social stuff. What kind of fuel load do you want, Captain? I looked at the dispatch release, and it says minimum out of here. Weather looks great all the way, but it's your airplane, Skipper.
Neil, we've got an area of rain showers to go around just east of Vero Beach in the northern Bahamas, but that minimum of 35,000 pounds should be fine. I don't see any problem with that. Now, I've got to go by and see the chief pilot and see what, so I'll see you guys on the airplane.
Okay, Captain. I wonder what that was about, Neil. You don't suppose someone has written him up for not wanting to fly with him? I have never seen his name on the bathroom wall, have you?
No, bud. But I sure seen yours there many times. Look, if he wants to tell us what it's all about, then he will. Let's not meddle into something that's not any of our business. Maybe he'll talk with us about it during the trip. Let's go to the plane. I see you. We have the newest of the Boeing 727-200s to fly today.
Yeah, I love flying them. They're just put on the line from their flight from Seattle. It smells like a new car on a showroom floor. Have you really seen my name on a bathroom wall? I've heard that flight attendants have comments on their bathroom walls about people they like and don't like. I sure would like to see if I'm on any of their walls.
The aircraft is parked at gate C-15, just above flight operations in the new Atlanta-Hartsfield International Airport Terminal. Flight and cabin crew members love gates that are immediately above the Eastern Flight Operations check-in, and in this case, they can't get any closer. Captain Steve goes back to speak with the Atlanta chief pilot, Captain Paul Kelly.
Hey, Paul, you want to see me?
Yes, Steve. Come on in and shut the door. I got a personal favor to ask of you.
Meanwhile, the cabin attendants, Bud and Neil, walk down the jetway and onto aircraft number N822EA, delivered May 3rd, 1982. This was to be the last Boeing delivered to Eastern.
You're right, Bud.
About what, Neil?
The smell. It's got that new car smell. Just want to take it home with me.
Hey, Bud, I think you better get another second officer. I think Neil thinks this is a car.
Well, I was just saying to him earlier how many times Boeings have a similar smell as a new car in the radio showroom on radio. In a showroom floor. Please, don't you think so?
Whatever you say, Bud. I haven't been in a new car showroom since my daddy back in Hazard went over to Lexington to buy himself a new 1985 Chevy. Why, I was just knee-high to a grasshopper then. And that was the same car that I learned to drive and get my driver's license on.
Hey, Luann, do you have any comments about crews in your bathroom wall in flight operations?
Is the Pope Catholic, Bud? Of course we do. And you're plastered on every wall from Miami to New York and Chicago.
Oh, great.
Can't say as I'd like to have them same comments made about me as you seem to have earned. Oh, Luann, please be quiet. Leave First Officer Bud alone. Okay, girls, listen up. I'll work first class. Jan, you and Luann work the back along with Stephanie, Diane, Peggy, and Marie.
If it's okay with you, Margaret, I'll work the galley. It ought to be nice and clean, since this aircraft looks like it just came off the assembly line.
Jan, you're right about that. We are the first crew flying her since she arrived yesterday from Seattle and was flight checked last night. I just talked with the lead mechanic, actually supervisor, Chuck Albright, who will be going along with us today, and he says it checks out mechanically perfect. Let me know if you find anything not functioning, though, and we'll get Chuck to take a look at it. However, I don't think you'll find anything to write up. It's brand new.
Okay, Margaret. We've got a good full load for you today. 137 passengers, including one angry fellow in first class, saying that he hopes Flight Attendant Luann will not be amongst the crew. Huh. I thought I saw Luann board with the other flight attendants, so if he sees her, he might want to take another flight to make his cruise ship connections in San Juan.
I'll make sure Luann doesn't work first class. By the way, what seat has he been assigned?
Looks like seat 2B. He's a Middle Easterner and a bit hard to understand. Now, if you're ready, we will start boarding.
We're ready. Bring them on. Seat 2B, huh? I bet I know his name.
137 passengers board Eastern Flight 57, including a jump seat rider. The agent follows the last passenger and hands Margaret the papers for the cockpit crew, including the latest weather en route and in San Juan. The main cabin door is closed, and the jetway is maneuvered away from the aircraft.
But ground says we're clear to start. How about you and Neil reading the before starting checklist, please, sir?
Okay, Captain. I've got to locate mine here. One moment.
What are we looking for, a checklist?
Yeah, we need one.
Yeah, you know, sometimes these guys, I don't know what happens to these checklists, but sometimes these guys put them in all sorts of different areas of the cockpit here, but
yeah,
we'll get around. We'll find it, and we'll read it just as soon as we can find it.
All right, we'll read the checklist here shortly, Kevin.
Okay.
After completing their checklist, Eastern Flight 57 has been cleared to runway 9 right. Since this is the rush hour at the Atlanta airport, they are number 14 in the lineup for takeoff. Meanwhile, the flight attendants are going through their cabin announcement, which includes the overwater instructions. Let's listen in as Margaret goes through her briefing.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Margaret Bars, and I'm your senior flight attendant. On behalf of Captain Steve Thompson, First Officer Bud Hescock, and Second Officer Neil Holland, and the entire crew, welcome aboard Eastern Airlines Flight 57 nonstop service from Atlanta, Georgia to San Juan, Puerto Rico. Now, our flight time will be of 3 hours and 11 minutes. We'll be flying at an altitude of 35,000 feet at a ground speed of 580 miles per hour. The distance is 1,536 miles. At this time, make sure your seat backs and tray tables are in their full upright and locked position. Also, make sure your seat belt is correctly fastened. And we advise you that as of this moment, any electronic equipment must be turned off. Thank you. Flight attendants, please prepare for gate departure. Flight attendants, doors checked and cross-check and report. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to direct your attention now to the cabin flight attendants. They'll be demonstrating our safety demonstration and would like the next few minutes of your complete attention. When the seatbelt light illuminates, you must fasten your seatbelt. Insert the metal fittings, one into the other, and tighten by pulling on the loose end of the strap. To release your seatbelt, lift the upper portion of the buckle. We suggest that you keep your seatbelt fastened throughout the flight as we may experience turbulence. There are several emergency exits on this aircraft. Two in the forward cabin, two over each wing, and two in the aft section of the aircraft. Please take a few moments now to locate your nearest exit. In some cases, your nearest exit may be behind you. If you need to evacuate the aircraft, floor-level lighting will guide you towards the exit. Doors can be opened by moving the handle in the direction of the arrow. Each door is equipped with an inflatable slide, which may also be detached and used as a life raft. Oxygen and the air pressure are always being monitored. In the event of a decompression, an oxygen mask will automatically appear in front of you. To start the flow of oxygen, pull the mask towards you. Place it firmly over your nose and mouth, secure the elastic band behind your head, and breathe normally. Although the bag does not inflate, oxygen is flowing to the mask. If you're traveling with a child or someone who requires assistance, secure your mask on first and then assist the other person. Keep your mask on until a uniformed crew member advises you to remove it. In the event of an emergency, please assume the bracing position. Lean forward with your hands on top of your head and your elbows against your thighs. Ensure your feet are flat on the floor. A life vest is located in a pouch under your seat or between the armrest. When instructed to do so, open the plastic pouch and remove the vest. Flip it over your head. Pass the straps around your waist and adjust at the front. To inflate the vest, pull firmly on the red cord only when leaving the aircraft. If you need to refill the vest, blow into the mouthpieces. Use the whistle and the light to attract attention. Also, your seat bottom cushion can be used as a flotation device. Pull the cushion from the seat, slip your arms into the straps, and hug the cushion to your chest. We remind you that this is a non-smoking flight. Tampering with, disabling, or destroying the smoke detectors located in the lavatories is prohibited by law. You will find this and all the other safety information in the card located in the seat pocket in front of you. We strongly suggest you read it before takeoff. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask one of our crew members, and we wish you all an enjoyable flight.
Hey, Neil, how about ringing the flight attendants and tell them we're next to go, please?
Okay, Captain. Margaret, we're going into position for takeoff. Please advise your cabin crew.
Okay, Neil. Flight attendants, please take your seats for takeoff.
Eastern Flight 57 departs Atlanta as cleared and is now approaching their cruising altitude of flight level 350. Captain Steve goes on the PA to tell the passengers about the flight, as First Officer Bud is piloting the Boeing 727-200 to San Juan.
Hey, Neil, how about going back and getting us some coffee while I make a PA announcement, please, sir?
Sure, Captain. It'll give the flight attendants more time in their meal service. I know what you guys like in your coffee unless you want something different.
I'm going to have a can of soda water. It might settle my stomach from last night's Mexican gastronomical fire dance.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Steve Thompson, your captain, and on behalf of the entire crew, welcome aboard. We've just leveled at a cruising altitude of 35,000 feet, and our speed right now is Mach 0.82, which is 82% of the speed of sound, and we are aided by a tailwind of about 90 miles an hour, which will make our speed across the ground and very shortly the water about 580 miles per hour. In order to avoid some weather that's located in the northern Bahama Islands, we'll proceed from our present position, which is right over Tifton, Georgia, through the center of the state of Florida, passing Orlando directly to Miami, where we'll leave the U.S. coast and to the Bahamas, passing over Nassau and over the Turk and Caicos Islands directly to San Juan. Our computer has us touching down in San Juan at 1:37 p.m. We are expecting a smooth ride, so we'll turn off the seatbelt sign and give you the opportunity to move about in the cabin if you desire. But please, while seated, we do ask that you keep your seatbelts fastened. We'll keep you posted from time to time as to the progress of our flight. But for now, just sit back, relax, and enjoy the fine service the flight attendants have in store for you. Thank you.
Hey, guys. We're all caught up in the back. Do you want something to eat or drink? We've got a few of the first-class meals available.
Wouldn't be steak or chicken cordon bleu, would it?
Gee, how did you guess? I take it you've eaten here before.
Yes, about 10 years at the same restaurant in the sky. But I won't complain. It's free. And how about how they feed us on our flights out of San Juan? Eastern's famous restaurant flights. The Swiss Chalet caterers out of San Juan. Silverware, fine china, crystal. Really first class.
Sounds great. I'll be back up with two for now. Chuck, would you care to dine also?
Hey, Jim, let me go back and get the meals for these guys. You just try fix the trays, and I'll bring them up. And we got another full aircraft. You have another full aircraft, and we need you to work with your paying people. Heck, these guys get paid too. Much as it is, truth be known, they probably work for nothing. I know I would just be able to sit up here and see the beautiful panoramic view of the Caribbean at 35,000 feet and be served by lovely ladies like you.
Eastern Flight 57 is now approaching the Caicos Islands, and Bud makes the announcement to the passengers.
Folks, we're coming over the Caicos Islands in some very beautiful water. You might want to know about the beautiful part of the Caribbean. The Turks and Caicos Islands are British overseas territory, consisting of two groups of tropical islands in the Caribbean. The larger Caicos Islands and the smaller Turks Islands, known for tourism and as an offshore financial center. The Turks and Caicos Islands lie southeast of Mayaguana in the Bahamas chain and north of the island of Hispaniola. Cockburn Town, the capital since 1766, is situated on Grand Turk Island about 647 miles east-southeast of Miami in the United States. The islands have a total land area of 170 square miles, The islands are geographically contiguous to the Bahamas and are politically a separate entity. A total population of about 45,000, who approximately 22,500 live in Providenciales and in the Caicos Islands. As you might like to know, that we will soon be over the deepest part of the Atlantic Ocean, called the Puerto Rican Trench. The trench is 490 miles long and a depth of 26,247 feet. The area to the north of the chain of the islands is where all of the original Mercury astronauts splashed down in their capsules. We're still planning to arrive on schedule and maybe a few minutes early. We'll give you an update of the weather just before we start our descent. All of us on the flight deck hope that you're enjoying the flight and the excellent service by Eastern's finest, our flight attendants. Okay, I'm ready to eat. If it's all right to go ahead with you, Captain?
Oh, sure, bud. Yeah, make sure you just make sure you don't get the captain's meal.
Yes, sir.
Eastern 57, descent flight level 230, contact San Juan approach. 119.4, altimeter is 3005.
Roger, 3005, and Eastern 57 is leaving flight level 350 for 230, and have a nice day, sir. San Juan approach, this is Eastern 57, and we're leveling at flight level 230, and we have hotel.
Roger, Eastern 57, and continue down to 10,000 feet. Keep your speed up, and you are number one for runway 10. You have got a pin air heron at your 2 o'clock position down low. Let me know when you see him.
We see him, and it looks like a green Easter egg today. Chuck, all the pin air aircraft are painted different colors.
I wonder what you were talking about. The Iron is a four-engine aircraft, I believe. Isn't that right?
Yeah, it's a little bit bigger than a Twin Beach, but it does have four engines. San Juan approach, Eastern 57, is leveling at 10,000.
Royer, Eastern 57, you are clear straight in approach for runway 10. Contact tower in 118.9. Have a great day, San Juan, sir.
Thank you, sir, and we'll go over to 18-9. San Juan Tower, Eastern 57, has you in sight for a straight-in runway 10.
Royer, Eastern 57, you are clear to land runway 10. The wind is 070 at 15 knots. The altimeter is 30.05. Can I let you have runway 8 if you prefer?
Hey, bud, how about runway 8? It's a lot closer to our gate.
Heck yeah, with a 10-degree crosswind as opposed to a 20-degree crosswind works for me.
Eastern Flight 57, right? Flight 57 arrives at the Eastern Gate area near the terminal entrance, leaving just a short distance for the passengers to walk to the baggage claim area. The van drive from the airport to the Caribe Hilton takes only about 20 minutes on the Expresso Roman Baldiarati del Castro Expressway, and the crew is delivered to the entrance of this beautiful hotel with casino and a huge pool area right on the Atlantic Ocean.
This is a great time to be getting in, as it leaves us time for some shopping and dinner later at the hotel's five-star restaurant. Have you guys ever had the pleasure of staying in one of their oceanfront villas? Sometimes they'll actually let us choose a villa over the suites with private balconies overlooking the Condado Lagoon or the San Geronimo Fort. It's really a toss-up as to accommodation.
What do you guys say that we meet at the outside Atlantico Pool Bar and Grill about 6 p.m. and we could plan our day from there? Because I want to go down to the casino and and see if I can get some money that they told me that they were going to save for me when I come back.
Amen to that.
On a previous trip I had to San Juan with Captain Bill Malone, we had a great visit aboard a cruise ship before it departed the port of Old San Juan. Here's how we did it, or I should say, here's how Bill did it. Bill thought that since Eastern brings many of the cruise passengers to San Juan, thus bringing their customers and revenue, that perhaps we could talk the boarding officer at the docks into letting us come aboard for a tour of the ship and then debark before the ship set sail to the next port. We would present our Eastern IDs and ask that they be reviewed by the captain for possibly boarding and a tour. Well, guess what? It worked. We were taken to the ship's bridge where we met the captain and the first officer of the cruise ship, toured the bridge, and then was invited to the upper lounge near the captain's quarters for free drinks and hors d'oeuvres. All we could eat and drink, I might say. The captain told the waiter to put it on his personal tab.
Were the cruise passengers already on board? I might give me a chance to meet someone since Luann seems uninterested.
Well, many of the cruise passengers are in Old San Juan shopping or dining at the many fine restaurants. The ship we were guests on left the docks at about 10 p.m. is the best I can recall. They make announcements so that guests can make their way off the ship, though.
That sounds like a plan to me. How about we call for transportation for, let's see, who all is going? Let's get a head count.
Well, this is Luann, and you know I wouldn't miss out on something that sounds like a big old shindig and lots of fun. So there's me, Margaret, Jan, the captain, Bud, Neil, and Chuck. Are you with us, Chucky?
Oh, yes, I sure am.
All right. That makes seven of us, Captain.
The van arrives at the front entrance of the hotel, where the crew has gathered for either a great evening aboard the Eastern Sunrise of the Caribbean or finding one of the many excellent restaurants in Old San Juan. Since Neil has seen how this worked on a previous trip with Captain Bill Malone, he has been appointed spokesman for the group. Let's see if it will work again.
Hello, are you the boarding officer of the ship?
Yes, and what can I do for you? Are you guests on our ship today?
No, but we would like to be, and we are connected in a way to the cruise ship, just in a small way, I guess. We are the crew members on an Eastern Airlines flight that comes into San Juan every day, and we depart Atlanta, bringing many of your passengers on our flights. And on each of the flight, there must be at least, oh, I'd say probably 50 people who come to San Juan to take your fabulous Caribbean cruise to the various islands throughout the area. This is Captain Thompson and First Officer Bud Hescock. Also, we've got Senior Flight Attendant Margaret Bars and her crew, Jan Wuchkai, Luann Wiggins, Chuck Albright. He's our maintenance supervisor. And my name is Neil Holland. I'm sorry I didn't say that at introduction. But I have collected all of our Eastern IDs with the hope that you might be able to present them to the ship's captain for possibly boarding and a tour.
Just have a seat right over there, and I'll be back as soon as I ask the captain. Oh, our captain for this cruise is Captain Howard Mucci. He's of German descent. The captain will be delighted to have you as his special guest on the Lido Decks Windows of the Sea Bar and Grill. You can board now and take the elevator to the Lido Deck. It will be at the aft end of the ship. Have a great visit on board our ship, and remember, all guests that are not passengers must be off the ship by 9:45 p.m. You will hear announcements and a blast from the ship's horn. Right this way, please. Follow me.
The crew has found the Lido Deck's Windows of the Sea Bar and is joined by the captain and his first officer.
You must be the Eastern Airlines crew. Welcome aboard the Eastern Sunrise of the Caribbean. But let me first introduce our first officer, Juan Diaz.
Thank you, Captain, for allowing us to come aboard today. I'm Captain Steve Thompson, and this is our crew. We're from Atlanta, Georgia, and we just arrived only a few hours ago with some of your passengers, I'm sure. I've always wanted to know more about a cruise ship and mostly to have a look at the bridge, if that would be allowed.
Certainly, Capitan. First Officer Diaz will take you on a tour of the ship. But first of all, I want to make you to make yourselves comfortable. Our drink attendants will take your orders and bring you some special appetizers with my compliments. You're my guests. Please feel free to enjoy our amenities just as our cruise passengers do.
Hey, Captain Mucci, you sure have a lot more folks to take care of than we do on our flights. Why, this little area of the ship is bigger than our entire cabin.
I will be happy to give you a few statistics, but then I'll turn the tour over to First Officer Diaz. He can answer any further questions you may have.
Is this great or what? Maybe we'd better keep this little secret to ourselves. Too many crews discovering this are likely to screw it up sooner or later. Hey, where's Bud? He came down with us from the bridge. He must have snuck off to see if he could stow away in someone's cabin.
I think I will visit the shop on the Atlantic deck. Care to come with me, girls?
No, Jan, you just go ahead, and if you see anything pretty that I might like, you just come get me. I want to check out that first officer, Juan. Maybe they have dancing on the promenade deck. Sure look like that's where all the fun stuff to do is located. Uh-oh, here comes that gorgeous Juan now.
Is everything going well for you? More drinks or appetizers? We do have several great places to enjoy eating on the promenade deck. You would like to join up me there?
Oh, yes, Juwan, we sure would. Are you spoken for? I mean, on this cruise, are you allowed to dance with the guests and so on and so forth?
Well, my name is Juan. It will be my pleasure to dance with you, Miss Luan. Here, take my arm. And we'll go up to the promenade deck. Are we missing someone? Seems to count was 7.
Yes, our first officer's wandered off, and he's probably having trouble navigating all the decks that you have on the ship. He might even be on the promenade deck where we're headed, so let's head out that way.
Well, would you look at Mr. Gene Kelly out there on the dance floor. Hey, Bud, I didn't know you could do some of that pretty fancy stepping. And who's your friend?
She is a travel agent, Malaya, I met some time ago.
does what I called a fam trip. Victoria, this is the rest of the crew I was telling you about.
Well, fiddle-dee-dee. So nice meeting you all. This is one of the benefits that we travel agents can take advantage of. A cruise offered at a very attractive rate so that we can learn more about the actual cruise and sell the steamship companies, cruises, that is. I do try to go on one every year, so why don't you all come up and see me sometime?
Oh, isn't she neat?
Luann, maybe I have a distance. It's Roomba. Do you Roomba?
Si, senor. But let me take off my shoes. Now, that's the way we girls from Kentucky dance, barefooted.
Hoy he vuelto a pensar en ti. Y no sé por qué.
Boy, look at him go.
Será que no soy feliz. Hoy he vuelto a pensar en cosas pasadas. Vuelvo a revivir.
We'll leave our Eastern Radio flight crew on board the Eastern Sunrise of the Caribbean until next week's episode, when we hear the blast from the ship's horns advising all guests it is now time for leaving the ship, just prior to departure.
Well, my God, everybody's moving.
There's only six of them.
Just to watch.
Where's Bud? The cast for tonight's show were Captain Steve Thompson, First Officer Bud Hescock, Second Officer Neil Holland, Senior Flight Attendant Margaret Bars, Flight Attendant Jan Butch-Kai, Luann Margaret Bars, Narrator Bill Joseph, Boarding Officer Jim Hart, Maintenance Supervisor Chuck Albright, San Juan Traffic Control Hector Santa Maria, Captain Mucci Howard Mucci, First Officer Juan Diaz Hector Santa Maria.
And what a wonderful thing he did for Eastern in making a number of changes and a number of improvements.
I have stated probably ad nauseum that he and my career with Eastern Airlines was far head and shoulders above any other CEO that we ever had.
He was the predecessor to Borman. Being
yes.
A United pilot, I'm not that knowledgeable.
I believe he was, yes.
Well, I'd like to say that in my few emails that I had with Mr. Hall, I described him once and I mentioned that I thought he was an icon. And he made a statement, and I know I've repeated this several times on the show, that he said, I was not an icon, I was just a man who loved my job. And I thought that said it all.
I was particularly struck by Floyd Hall's achievements, not only with Eastern, but before and after. He had a remarkable career, a very interesting career, and he was so humble about it.
He was very humble about it, and of course, as a pilot, it was intriguing to me the way that he came up through starting out as a line pilot, getting involved in ALPA, our union, and rising to the top of that organization, becoming their MEC chairman. And, of course, that's the way that you become recognized by top management for your skills. And that's the way that I'm sure he was recognized and advanced in the management ranks.
Hey, Chuck, this is Neil. And, we were talking about the L-1011 and the costly the amount of money we spent, and you were telling me something very interesting about that engine that Mr. Hall basically said that they had gone over to London and had taken care of it, but you pointed out some things about that. Could you tell us about it again, Chuck?
Yeah, basically the engine was built in Derby, England,
and they built a good engine, but it was a new design engine. It was called a tri-spool engine, and not getting into the technical terms, it was developed, all the research and development was actually done with Eastern Airlines being the people telling them that they had to change things. One of the things that made it so costly was some of the new innovations that they had. If the flight crew remembers, when you did your walk around, the hub of the fan in the front looked colored different than the shiny metal. That's because it was made out of phenolic, which was a kind of a compound type substance. And unfortunately, they didn't realize that those engines sit there and rotate in the wind when they're sitting on the ground. And consequently, the hub shaft of each one of those blades kept banging back and forth, and pretty soon that hub was no good. So Eastern, with their engineers, redesigned that with the engineers at Derby, and they came up with a better hub. But unfortunately, we were changing engines left and right. I mean, you would put an engine on in Miami and fly it to New York, and that was it. They had to take the engine off because something had gone wrong with it. So it was a capital expenditure that was way out of line of what Eastern could really afford. The plane itself, which all the flight crews know, was a beautiful plane to fly. It had the latest avionics and everything in it. And from the mechanics' point of view, except for the engines, the systems were really top-notch. They really come out and did a really good job of designing this thing. Unfortunately, the engine was not that. They later changed it on to a different type of engine as far as the – that was when they built the 1011, that was a 535 engine, I believe, that came out later on and had most of the problem solved. But unfortunately, by then, Eastern had really put a lot of money into this airplane that they hadn't counted on. So I really felt, being in the maintenance end of the business, that Eastern went way beyond the call of duty to keep this engine on the airplane, because some of the other engines were already tested by the military on some of their cargo planes, and they put out the same thrust ratio that they had on the 1011. But Eastern chose not to use those. I never really got to know why. You know, I'm sure it was a business decision. But I'm sure that over the years, Eastern was really in the forefront of making this plane fly. And it did. It was a good passenger-carrying airplane. I thought later on, after a lot of the bugs were finished, that we had a good, decent airplane that we could present to the public.
Hey, Chuck, just a minute. Steve Thompson had an interesting experience. Perhaps, Chuck, you remember about the airplane that all three engines were lost. Well, Steve Thompson was a captain on that. Steve?
Yeah, I was just going to make a comment that, Chuck, I would think that you would say that the engines run much better if the O-rings were left on the chip detectors. Is that a true statement?
Yeah, they probably would. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's good.
That was a great flying airplane. I've gotten some time in it, and I flew the old TWA-1s, and they were they sure could make a cloud starting engines, I'll tell you.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know if you remembered in Atlanta, they started the reverse engine pullbacks, and they worked fine on DC-9s and 727s. But I was transferred to Atlanta with the L-1011 crew because they wanted to move everything up there to try to save cost. And they tried an L-1011. I don't know why they did this, because the engines are low and they're in the front mainly. And they tried to reverse a 1011 and back it out. And when they did, they blew all the windows out of the lower station down there.
Duh. Hey, I'll change the subject just a minute. Jim, you and Trudy are about to go off on your own cruise, I believe.
Yes, we are. Holland America leaves next Sunday, and we're going into the Caribbean. Actually, we've been there so many times that Trudy and another lady friend that we travel with and her husband usually go ashore and do some shopping while the other fellow and I stay on the boat. That's the only time I wish the casino was open while we were in port, because that's some of my fun during the trip. Oh, and the other thing is the little ice cream, the free ice cream. I think it's like a soft serve yogurt. Boy, I try to find out where those things are on the ship, and I beeline for those every chance I get.
Well,
may be of interest to you that you might want to renegotiate the fare that you paid, because especially on this one cruise line, you've got a couple of boats that are just are dead in the water.
Oh yes, yes.
Oh yeah.
We saw the latest one this afternoon.
Yeah, there was something on the news about another cruise ship in the same line. What's that all about?
That's it, Carnival. It's another ship that had a fire on board, and it is dead in the water right in the middle of where all of those pirates are located.
Oh, great.
Oh, God. Oh, off of Somali Island?
1,000 people on board.
Oh, my God.
Now, didn't they have a robbery on board one this afternoon or something?
That was in Mexico.
Oh, that was in Mexico, yes, in Puerto Vallarta.
Great.
The people were getting ready to board the ship, and they were robbed on the way to the boat.
Wow.
Wow.
That must be something new with the cruise. Bring your own weapon to defend yourself.
Jan?
Yes?
Oh, you were going to say something.
I was just going to mention that some friends of ours just returned from a cruise. They left Fort Lauderdale and went through the Panama Canal and up the other coast, and then turned around and came back through. And one thing is, their cruise line, I don't know which line it was, but purposely avoided the area where these people just got robbed, Puerto Vallarta. They would not land there because of the danger. Good thing they did.
What we need is a SEAL Team 6 cruise.
Oh, wow.
You know, our skit tonight about San Juan and the cruise ships brings back a lot of memories. I really enjoyed flying throughout the Caribbean, and I'd bid trips down there every chance I'd get. I think I took my daughter to the Swiss Chalet, and she had just turned of age that I could get her a little wine with the beef stroganoff dinner, and listen to the beautiful piano music at the Swiss Chalet. But a lot of fond memories there, and I'm sure you guys remember some flights down there. Anything you want to talk about?
I have something I could mention, Neil. In the Navy, I was a naval aviator, and during the wintertime, we would leave the U.S. We were stationed on the East Coast, and we would fly into Roosevelt Roads, and that is also where the Navy SEALs do their training. And in the chow line, you could spot those guys a mile away. Each one had to be at least 6'5", and they were huge. And the meals that they would put on their plates, they would be overflowing, and they'd come back for seconds. But Roosevelt Roads is where we would fly from, and we would use the island of Vieques for our bombing and rocket running. And you all have heard about what happened to Vieques a short time ago. There's no more bombing or anything with the Navy or with the military in the U.S. because the people on the other end of the island were continuously protesting. And so now, thank goodness for them, we've stopped that practice.
Jim, this is Lou Ann. I just want to go back to those Navy SEALs. Now, how tall were they?
About 6'5", Lou Ann. And
oh, my
they
God.
They were muscular. You could not believe. That's why they survive and do the wonderful things they do.
Oh, be still my beating heart.
I have a suggestion for any of you who can do it. I would suggest you go see a movie called Act of Valor. And for you, Luann, they only chose Navy SEALs as actors because they couldn't find any other civilians that could measure up to the job of performing those tasks in that movie.
I understand they're good dancers also, Luann.
Oh, listen, I just think they're pretty. I just want to look at them. And thank you, Steve, for that update on the movie. I am definitely getting a ticket. I'm going to Act of Valor tomorrow.
They also make good foxholes.
I'm sure I don't know that of which you speak.
I have to tell you, one time when I was flying non-sked for a company called Five Star out of Boston, we do the vacation packages of the Caribbean and go into Freeport in the Bahamas. We came on the shooting a visual approach for the, I think it was the east-west runway. We were on a base, and then as we started to turn final, we saw a U.S. nuclear submarine. So we extended our final to give the passengers a view. And I imagine what the look must be from the commander's face. He looks up and sees all these faces in the window.
Just a minute, folks. We've got area code 410 on the line and been holding for a while. Could you identify yourself, area code 410? If you would like to talk, just press 1. Okay. We also had last week as a guest Captain John Shearer, and a musician. And John, of course, was an Eastern captain, but he has a band. I forgot the name of it. Can you guys remember the name of that band? It's the Blue Sky Up, I believe it was. Blue Sky Up Band. And he played a little music. I think we played the 16 tons that he sang. And I think Mr. Hall really enjoyed it as well and complimented John and his music. But I'd like to tell you that John's music can be purchased. And John's website, I don't know if we gave you his website. Mr. Producer, do you... Okay, here it is. It's Big John Shearer. That's Big John Shearer, and that last name is SHEARER.com. Big John Shearer and the Blue Side Up Band. You'll really get a kick out of the free online music that is right there on his website and listen to some of his songs. But I'm sure you'll really enjoy it. John is from North Carolina, I believe, in the Chapel Hill area. And he does a little bit of traveling and entertaining at conventions and that type of thing. But his music is really good. Anybody else got a comment? Well, I believe our time is just about up. We've got about a minute to go. And so... just a couple of little items that we want you to remember. And those people that are members of our radio club, we sure appreciate bringing your dues up to date. They're $10. You can pay by credit card online or print the form on the document page and submit it by mail. And we really enjoyed being with you tonight. That's basically our show, and we thank you, our listeners and Radio Club members, for listening in. We'll be back with you next week, same time, same station, and that station is www.ealradioshow.com. And like the old commercial for Dodge Automobiles, we'll say again tonight, we've had a good time too. Next week, we hope you will once again fly Eastern Radio as we bring you the sounds of some special music. And be sure to tune in and call in at 7 p.m. when Flight 58 departs the gate, and we try to find out where First Officer Bud has wandered off to. So we hope you'll be on board. And from all the gang here at our studio and our remote locations, we all say good night.
Good night,
Eastern,
good night, Eastern family.
Good night, everybody.
I'm